Hello, this is Ruslan Malinovsky.
Hello, this is Roman Yaremchuk.
Hello, I'm Sergey Rebro.
And you're listening to Ukraine Plus Football.
UPL season is over-ish. Medals have been handed out, trophies won and European places secured. Playoffs are still in progress though, and internationals aren't far off either. And we're here to mull over all the interesting happenings over the final few days and weeks of it. Welcome to the final episode of Ukraine Plus Football for the 24-25 season. Now, where else would we start tonight than the great story of Oblon? They've survived on the final day of the season. Right? Was it ever in doubt, my friend?
Yeah, but considering the start of the season, right? That was terrible. And truth be told, without this win against Levi Beret, who deserved to stay in the Premier League, I have to give it to them. This kind of story also needs to be told and being kept told. But with Obolon, before this match, we had the same goal difference as Trono Moritz. And the only reason why we are above is we scored more and we conceded less by only one or two goals. And also we could have gotten a sort of a record of 30 matches, 30 points and survive. Luckily we didn't. And there was a great push in the last, in the last half of the season. And it's great to see. And I have to tell you an inside story, guys. Yesterday, I went on a bit of a rampage in Obolon Casual web Instagram page when I posted that someone doesn't mind playoffs. But what's the point? And then Marchenko responded to me saying, "Who are you talking about?" And I was like, "Well, you know, Dan, it's for you not to relax prematurely." And nobody relaxed, obviously, and they won. So I don't know. Maybe he's not the only one who saw it. He just decided to respond. But all credit to him. He saved a big, big opportunity from Levi Beret in the first half. And, well, it's all about conspiracy now. But I have told you my bit. And we are hoping for more. What I would like to mention in the end of my speech is what I noticed from the broadcast is that on the ultra sector there were new faces, and those faces were very, very young and very, very inspiring to see. There were little fans, there were young academy prospects from Zmina, and it all really looked like one green sea. Which is always like that, you know. In last match day of the season, Oblon gives you this hope. And it's like they extend your loyalty contracts for one more season and then one more season and then everything loops again. But it's definitely worth it.
Shishchenko, manager of the season for you, right?
I heard one of the bloggers with a preview of the last match day, and he said that recently I said Barcelona and Obolon are the best European teams at the moment, especially after Obolon won against Veres. So the quality of game was at that point was as the same as Barcelona. Now obviously it's not the case, but Shishchenko made a difference. He's not an Obolon heart, and everybody was skeptical about him, but he proved himself.
It's a great story this season, in a season perhaps where there haven't been so many for us to get our teeth into. Oblon has been one that's But so we put a smile on all our faces. Michael, we really hoped that Ingolets were going to as well, but not quite there at the end, were they, my
I
friend?
know it was so close, and it's the hope that kills you, isn't it? Let's face it. But they left themselves with a lot to do from the first half of the season, and we always felt that, looking back at some of them late goals they conceded and the points were dropped are looking like missed opportunities. But they've had a season to be proud of. They've captured the hearts of me for a start. And but yeah, that fight, you beat La Vibéré, that was a great result. That gave them the hope. But they had the chance to go out and beat Vorskla and you don't do it. It's in your hands realistically, isn't it, to go and try stay in the league. And it just wasn't good enough. And like Ray said, La Vibéré deserved to stay in the league, just about. But yeah, it's been a great season. And I could see them bouncing back if they keep the core of the squad. And I think we spoke about this on the podcast before. They just need a couple of maybe like a flashy player. Someone who's going to get the goals and a couple of very experienced heads in there. You throw them into that squad and they can stay up. So it's a bit of a rebuild. Obviously, Cobbins had an incredible season there. We'll just see where he ends up. Hopefully, he stays. But Ingolets will be back. Mark my words.
I think
I
they
mean,
already have a very significant representative there, who is Kislenko. I mean, Kislenko looks like he's a number 10. Obviously, he's a
yeah.
striker, but he always looks like he's been out there.
Yeah.
Before the match, the night before, he was reading Paul Gascoigne biography. You know what I mean? And this is inspiring to see as well. But unfortunately, I feel like Poveroznyuk one. I wanted to say Poveroznyuk team. Yeah, Poveroznyuk team is stuck in their existent trope, as the reputation of the owner outruns the club's charm. I hope you guys could make my words wrong. I don't know.
They're down, but they certainly will be one of the top teams and ones that we're probably going to be amongst it for the promotion straight away back to the UPL. But from the other teams, I think probably the most surprising one in inverted commas that are down there is Vorskla. They're in the playoffs for the relegation. Them and Levi Berec will play the Kudryvko Metlis 925. And I think it's kind of a sad state of affairs down in Poltava. We've heard over the past couple of years that Zhivakov, the owner, has had problems, arrest warrants being taken to court in different places and other kind of things like that. And then I think last month, it was revealed that they've got a transfer ban. So they can't actually sign any players for the next three transfers for outstanding debts to, I think, former players or former staff or something like that. And, if they were to get relegated, how much is that going to affect the team? Because obviously, it's a historic club in Ukraine, a big one, a big city, a big stadium that is sadly, having to be empty at this time because of the war and everything like that. But I genuinely, if they, if they do go down, which I mean, it's not the end of realms of possibility because they've had some really poor performances. They drew with Ingolets on the final day. There's no guarantee, even though they have got a good quality squad, that it couldn't go even worse. It's a difficult one. And then Chornomorets, who finished rock bottom, really down without any sort of hope. With even Kucher and Rakitski couldn't save them, albeit they added a bit of, I don't know,
Sobriety.
sobriety slash a bit of entertainment to the final few games due to their inclusion. And apparently they're going to be staying, according to a few reports in Ukrainian football this week. So let's see if they do. But I think that they too will probably be in and around the top next season and be fighting it out because you look at who is down there in Persha. And it is kind of a free-for-all. So good luck to them all.
Well, though they won't even be the biggest team though in their own city. next season with the way things are looking. We have to give a little shout out to them there, don't we? Great to see the Poltava doing as well as they're doing. Just a few years after turning professional as well. Guys, Mark, I'll start with you. I mean, who else has caught your eye during the running? Last time we all met, Kovalivka were a team we were concerned about, weren't we?
They have had such a turnaround. I remember sitting, and talking on this podcast, and they hadn't, I don't think they had scored more than one goal in a game for about 10, 11 matches. And to turn it round, you know, Kostashin came in and you're thinking, just try and get the best out of the players, you know, get them playing, you know, get a bit of confidence. And then there's what he's done. He's actually turned them into quite a formidable little team. You know, the Shakhtar game, the 4-2, they've looked fantastic. They've been so energetic when they've been playing. You know, they've been hitting teams on the counter. And it's sort of done what they've done is they've sort of just done the basics well. Do you know what I mean? They've looked at the squad and thought, how can we get the best out of this team? And Kostashin's done that. It's very exciting because I thought they were going to go down at one stage, and now next season they could be looking at a good place finish. Do you give him? It's very cliche, isn't it? The managers come in, short term contract. They do well. You give them a 2-year deal, and then they bomb the next season, don't they? So it's where do you go from here? It's like, do you cut your losses? But I think he's done everything in his power, and he's earned a contract to stay. So yeah, fantastic.
He is Mr. Kovalivka, isn't he?
He really is. Yeah.
That would be impressive, actually, if he left in the end of the season. Imagine leaving like that on a triumph, on a horse, as they say in Ukraine.
I don't know. I think there's something that he could build on next season. I would say that top half isn't beyond the realms of possibility. Maybe not a European fight like top four, but certainly, you know, top eight is possible if they keep some of their players, because Veleteň, for me, up there with one of the best players in the league this season, and coming from like Kolos as well, that's like even more impressive that we're not talking about, you know, him having played for one of the top four, top five, top six teams. So let's see how he does, because he's going to be in the under 21 Euros hopefully this summer, and maybe a move abroad beckons.
I want to come back because Andrew, you said about Kovalivka not quite perhaps going to push for Europe, and we're not going to see the return to the steamy nights against Kazakhstani teams or the like that we saw back in 21. Verez, they were another team that were really steamrolling away. But perhaps they packed their bags and headed off to the beach first this season. Are they enough of that perhaps could kick on next year, or are they at the plateau now?
I mean, they've got probably the top 3-4 manager of the season, I'd say. Shandruk, until this awful run of form at the end of this campaign, they actually looked like one of the better sides. And, you know, getting that out of a team that's predominantly like Ukrainian, not particularly young, but sort of this mix of has-beens and getting new life out of them and sort of reinvigorating certain careers, you know, it looked like a promising project. And then, you know, towards the end of this campaign when they lost 4 or 5 in a row, and you're like, well, evidently they survived, or they knew that they were safe and they just packed it all in. And, you know, they'll start again next season. If they can, then fair enough. I think their Brazilian Luan might not be staying. He's on loan. So they're going to have to find some new talent. Let's see if Yuri Hrabovda can do that next campaign. All in all, though, you know, I think in the day in, the owner probably expects a bit more. I think he would have expected them to maybe push on a bit, but we'll have to wait and see there. And then from a similar perspective, ones that we did expect to have a good season and actually had an awful campaign, Ellen's there.
Yeah.
Carrasco first half terrible. Hrychorchuk, we had high hopes, and absolutely nothing.
One of us
happened.
Had. One of they us definitely had.
Yeah, and they stunk the place out, and literally had to take it to them to 100%, you know, remain in the league. And it's like, bloody hell, with the amount of resources they've put in this year, over the past 2 years, like in terms of players, bringing in that guy from Sunderland, for I think a sizable fee. And Hrychorchuk became the first official casualty of the off-season, being sacked, let go, leaving by mutual consent, whatever. He has left LNZ. And he's now being touted to potentially go in at Bukovina, which I guess would be interesting. But his pedigree has certainly fallen, given his last sort of two jobs that he's been in. Not been able to turn it around at LNZ, where he was given the finances, etc. Not really be able to do anything. But some people might say he didn't have enough time, and that potentially could have changed something over the summer. But he's never going to get that. The favourite to take over is Ponomaryov, the Rukh manager. I think his announcement's meant to be imminent, according to certain insiders. So let's wait and see for that. He's done a relatively good job at Rukh. He's taken lots of players there from the academy, when he was an academy coach, all the way through to the first team, seen their development through and all that, with the uncertain future of Rukh. Maybe LNZ can offer more stability. They've got a very young president who's taken over from the former president, aka the father, handing it down to his son. He was apparently hiding in the ultra section of their last match day of the UPL against Veres, with a scarf on his face and purple pyro and all that kind of thing. So it seems like he's enjoying his time. Let's hope that maybe all these changes that have happened over the past few months, sporting director changes, media, etc., etc., all work out for the benefit of LNZ, because it's worked at Alexandria. You know, it's given a bit of time and it's ended up working there. So maybe give them a 2-3 seasons and something, you know, silver medal might be in their reach as well.
Yeah. Give them Rotan as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Could Rotan break the curse of Chikazi football? Because haven't like every team that's ever tried to get off the ground there headed in the same direction eventually?
Yeah, they have. But I mean, we'll have to wait and see. Just because from a backing perspective, I think they're quite stable. So that's the only thing they've got going for them after this terrible campaign. But certainly have to start from afresh.
I think the only highlight of the season for them was this interview of former goalkeepers talking about Hrychorchuk, you know?
Yeah, especially, you were quite fond of that one, Ray. But like I said, Ellen's there. I'm sure there's going to be a few exits. Yashari, who had lots of interest in the winter, probably will exit now. Will they be keeping up the likes of Makuana, who came in on loan and all that kind of stuff? Probably not. And, you know, who knows what's going to happen. But interesting summer ahead for them.
Now, Ray, Zorya, we all know it's your favourite team, and you know you really worship their place at the table of, you know, in UPL. What a job Bartolovic has done there, mate. Or should I go to Mike and let you escape that one?
Just a bit of insight from me. I don't want him to go. It seems like a perfect match. Finally, this team found a decent coach. And we mentioned top five coaches of that season. I definitely top five for me, Bartolovic. If he's going to be promoted in some other club, brilliant, but such a soulless and meaningless club playing in Dynamo Stadium in Kyiv, showing good football, it doesn't come around very often.
Mike, have they impressed you, or is it Rook who've caught your eye more?
Definitely Zorya more, but yeah, Rook Lviv, after the the chaos of that announcement of the merger or whatever it was in January, I pretty much put them down to be dead and buried. And they did look pretty dead and buried for the first couple of months, but they picked up some form and they've had a very, very strong finish. Unsure where that merger is going, to the point I'd even messaged Andrew saying, how does it work with the relegations and things like that? But yeah, it's don't know what's happening with it, but it seems like they're going to be here to stay, and I'm all for it. You know, they had a good end to the season. They're looking positive, and we keep the Lviv derby, don't we? So we're all happy with that, aren't we?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Andrew, you must be looking forward to that one next season.
Not really. I'll be, you know, it's got less of a charm now that Karapatia took all of Uruk's best players. But yeah, like Mike says, it's good that they're still around. There is question whether they will still be around in the summer, purely on the basis that I think Uruk 2 have folded or have withdrawn from Druha. So it's like, I'm not 100% certain what's happening in Vindiki and what Kozlovsky's going to decide, but I'm sure he'll decide something. And from a Zorya perspective, yeah, Ray said there, Bartulovic could be leaving. There's lots of rumours around that he's going to depart the club in the summer because there's lots of rumours of incoming managers. So for me, I think if Bartulovic was to leave, Cobin would be a perfect match. They've got better calibre players there to maybe implement the kind of football that he wants to play. He can bring in maybe a couple of those talents from Inhulets to supplement that. And I think it would be a match made in heaven. However, in recent days, we're hearing that Viktor Skripnik could be making a comeback. I'm hoping that that's just some sort of nonsense and rubbish, because realistically, after his past couple jobs, he definitely needs a break from Ukrainian football altogether and maybe rebuild his reputation in another country. Albeit, if he is going to come back to Zorya, maybe that's a question that he can't and nobody wants him elsewhere in that respect.
And he's been improving his, I think that's the word, improving his qualification during this time after Metalist 1925. What is that supposed to mean? As up for guesses. He's supposed to have some kind of reputation in Ukrainian football, right? For some reason, his genius diamond was praised all over the media. He won some bronze medals, but I mean, I don't have to mention Desna, right? Again, in the context of Zorya. So we've been there before and we're not coming back.
And hopefully he is an Eva.
And now we're getting on to probably the most exciting part of what was the final match day of the UPL 24-25 season. And that was the fight for the final Conference League spot between Karapate, Polisia and Krevbas. Only one of them was going to make it. And as everyone who's listening to this probably now knows, it was Polisia. Polisia ended up drawing with Krevbas in their final match day, 1-1, which was just enough for them to snatch that spot. Meanwhile, Karpate lost to the aforementioned Bartulovic's Zorya, 3-1. Kind of a last two match day collapse when they had it more or less all in their hands after beating Alexandria two match days ago. Everyone thought, really, this is Karpate's time. Just being promoted end of last season, coming up, Lupashko doing really well there, having a good squad, an exciting one. Those Ruch players we've talked about, who haven't all really impacted the team, I think, as much as we would have hoped. But certainly some of the other scouting and incomings that they've had over this campaign have done well. And even old stalwarts have pulled through too. Boboklo, who scored in the final match day, he's been pretty solid all season. And Chachua, who I think is the first Karpate player to score 10 plus goals for Karpate since like 2011, which is crazy. And I mean, Karpate's finish of sixth place is their highest finish in, I think, over 15 years or something like that. So congrats to them. They had a really good campaign, but just fell short. And I'm sure that Matt Gifsky, the owner there, is going to help with a bit of funding over the summer, bring in some more good players. Maybe they can push on for that top four spot properly next season. However, we've got more, let's say, movement and changes at the other two clubs that we've just spoken about. Polisia departed with Imad Ashour 2 games before the end of the season. Oleksandr Maksimov, who was brought in from the under-19s, I think, he came in as the caretaker, ended up steering them to European qualification. And maybe by the time you're listening to this, apparently soon, Rustan Rotanj is meant to be taking over in Zhytomyr. And if he's there, then I think there is lots of positive things to hope for, despite the fact that they brought in like 25 foreign players over the past 2 years. Alongside Imad Ashour, when he got sacked, there's the investigation of the head scout there, of another coach, about sort of secret dealings, taking percentages of things under the nose of President Butkevich. Apparently, investigations are ongoing and all that kind of thing. So we'll see how that ends up happening. But not the best of times for PAS as a result of that. The reputation is certainly dented after whatever went on there, especially when you listen to some of the different bloggers on YouTube, etc. But the fact that they've got Rotan coming in, if that is to be believed, if that is already confirmed by the time you're listening, he's going to need time because we know it took him a bit to get his best team, best squad in the under 21s. The same here, it took him, the best part of a season and a half before he got Alexandria playing how he wanted. So maybe not going to be pulling up trees straight away, but if he is given some patience, I think they can really, really make them challenges for Shakhtar and Dinamo going forward. And finally, Kyrgyzstan. Similarly, another managerial merry-go-round. It all happened this Monday where literally everyone was leaving, everyone was going to one club or another. Yuri von Udobie had a public spat with Viktor Vatsko on the sort of equivalent of the Ukrainian UPL match of the day. He said that he doesn't respect him anymore or something because of some insides that weren't true or weren't true. Regardless of that, he has more or less confirmed that he has left the club. I don't think it's official by the club. They haven't admitted it yet at time of recording, but he is also on his way out. He's apparently being linked with everyone under the sun. He was seen at the Metalist 925 Livy Berec first playoff leg. Maybe you might be going down there. Alexandria have got a free vacancy at the moment. There's even rumours that Imad Ashour could be going to Kyrgyzstan. So it's all just completely nuts and mental. Kyrgyzstan, finished fifth with relatively limited resources. Really, really strong showing from Yegor Tvardohlyb, who ended up finishing second in the goal scoring charts in the UPL, above Sudakov, by the way, and like 2 or 3 goals behind Vladislav Vanat. So I'm sure that he's going to have some kind of interest this summer from, if not the top Ukrainian sides, then hopefully somewhere in Europe, because for me, he's very underrated. And we'll come on to it later. The Ukraine squad that Serhiy Rebrov named for Canada. It's a shame that Tvardohlyb didn't get in.
And award for letdown of the season surely must go to Shakhtar. Pusic has unsurprisingly lost his job for that third place finish, and now it's the turn of another relatively inexperienced coach to get them back in the Champions League, and that is down to Arda Turan.
First bronze since 1995, and that means their first time finishing outside of the top two since 1995. So in a historic season in some aspects. Yes, they won the cup, but it's kind of like a, you know, a side thing, a real minor consolation in the grand scheme of things, because Shakhtar winning just the cup is not really to their level. I think everyone would agree. We now know, as Mike has already mentioned, that Arda Turan has been announced as the new Shakhtar manager. The talks have been, I think, or the rumours have been going on for the past month or two, realistically. I think a lot of people were, you know, spat out their tea when they first heard the rumour and were thinking, seriously? Because Shakhtar really have gone for another inexperienced coach. Pušić, it was his first proper job as a head coach. Turan has had success with Eyüpspor. He took them over in the second tier, brought them up to the Super League, and I think they finished in the top six or seven. And of course, we've got Taras Stepanenko over there now, who I'm sure has done some kind of scouting reports for one side or another about either going to Shakhtar or for Arda Turan, that kind of thing. Let's see how he does, because he very much seems to be an unknown in the grand scheme of things. He's not been pulling up trees in Turkey or anything like that, so we really don't fully know what to expect. He's going to have a relatively good budget. He's going to be having to work with a lot of Brazilians, which I don't think he has done in the past. But obviously he's had an illustrious playing career where he's played with a lot of top footballers at Barcelona, at Galatasaray, at Atletico Madrid. So maybe he can be the guy that lasts more than one season for Shakhtar, because I think it's what the past four managers have only lasted one. So it really is going to be a real test.
The question is he Balkan or is he Serna?
I'm pretty sure it's Serna who runs the show here from a managerial perspective. I think because evidently going for sort of types of players and managers that either he knows from a Croatian perspective, Bosnian perspective, and Al Turan, who seems to be one of these more left field. But regardless, it's another big risk. Someone relatively inexperienced to come in and get the job done. But apparently he's a character. It's coming. The only question is will the likes of Sudakov and Matvienko be wearing those kits next season? Because Sudakov, there's been rumours that he's going to leave. Will someone pay the aforementioned 50 million or crazy fees that people want for that Shakhtar want for him? He's been rumoured with West Ham, Bournemouth today. These are all from relatively unreputable sources, like, you know, weird transfer feed and all that kind of thing. So if he does end up at any of those, fair play. But at the moment, it seems very, very far-fetched. And I feel that a Napoli, for example, would be more appropriate at this stage in his development. Matvienko, on the other hand, according to Ihor Burbas, who, you know, 50-50 here and there on certain stories, but from a transfer perspective seems to be quite reliable, is saying that Matvienko is being touted by Portuguese clubs. And I think that maybe Shakhtar will let him go, finally, because they've kept him long enough. I feel that if he doesn't go now, he really will be one of those that has to stay until Taras Stepanenko levels of being 35 or 36. And I mean, Matvienko's 29 now, I think. So the time has really come. And it's late in the day as well. If he was allowed to have gone to Arsenal, you know, 3-4 years ago, who knows where he could have developed. And he's plateaued. We've all agreed that he's nowhere near the level that he probably was back in the day. And maybe the likes of Portugal would be a good step for him, especially if it's a top three club. I think some of the defending we've seen at Benfica in recent years has been absolutely atrocious. So him in front of Trubin, it can't get worse.
If there was ever a positive statement, that was it. But Michael, what are your thoughts on the new Shakhtar kit?
I have to say I'm a huge fan of them. I especially like the away shirt. I know it's going against the traditional, you know, the black and orange style, but I like it. I think it's funky, especially like I'm very personally, I can style it well and wear it sporty. So I think it's going to be interesting. And it's also going to be cool to see where they go with the third shirts. And also the home shirt, I thought it'd be nice with black sleeves, but when it looks, they have the orange shorts and the orange socks, it looks very clean. So,
Ray, it appears that Alexandria have been listening to you over the last few years on the podcast. The players have got together and decided not to do a Zorya in their pursuit of the league and took the historic silver medal, eh? It's great, you know, not only have you got the Obolon players responding to you on the Instagram, you know that Alexandria are there and acting on it as well. You've inspired them to their historic performances. Congratulations. Are you as impressed by their performances as they are by your words?
It cannot be underestimated, this achievement of silverware in Ukrainian football. I mean, what was that, Dnipro and Metalist, who shocked us previously, right? And then folded. Not the case here, but either not the case of stable top ranking, right? So some people would say, oh yeah, they pulled off Ukrainian Leicester or whatever, you know? So next season, of course, Rotan might depart to Polisa, which is exactly the same thing. You're in Ukrainian football. You have a one-man club, many one-man clubs, right? Polisa is one of them. Alexandria, supposedly better organization, as Andrew mentioned. LNZ followed them in that hierarchy of youngest and young CEOs. So great soul. Great football, but once again, a lot of aging players as well. So, not my personal pick for the manager of the year, Rotan, because it's been coming to him. He's built a team which is again not common in Ukrainian football. They don't give you that much time, and he got that. Still, I think he's been backed too much in the Ukrainian football media by certain opinion leaders of the past. That's our only hope. I don't think so.
Right, always bringing it back down to earth. Never letting someone's ego get too overinflated or self-worth from a manager's perspective, of course. I do think that he probably is manager of the year from a UPL purely from a UPL perspective. We'll move on to Dynamo in a minute, but he's certainly been better than Shovkovsky. The football that he plays is good. But yes, I agree. Maybe we're over-egging it to say that he's the new salvation, especially after, you know, some of the similar stories that we've heard from the past and how it sort of progresses and goes on from there. But you know, if he does well in another job, I think it will be hard to deny him of that title for sure. But let's see. Under 21s is one thing, Alexandria is another, with a great, you know, relative shoestring budget, a relative squad of old guys, a few youngsters, and some relatively good shrewd foreign recruiting. Teddy Tara, absolutely unbelievable since arriving. Shepelev's been pretty good. what Dynamo doing with that guy? another question. And everyone's favourite, Alexander Filipov's been pretty stable over the campaign. So much so that some people are even saying that he should have been in this Ukraine squad coming up.
Well, I'm playing FIFA 23 and he's on my squad.
Yeah, let's not go that far because I feel that we are still looking towards the future. But anyway, you know, there's even rumours that Shabanov, who's been solid at the back and that has brought him and some of those other players that we spoke about at the start of this season to bring that experience into the team and to stabilize it after, you know, relative inexperience last year made them fall away in that run-in for the European spots. Is that Shapanov is now being apparently touted to Shakhtar. And surely that can't be true, purely based on the fact that he's 32, 33. They've done it before in recent seasons, bringing in Rakitsky. Didn't work particularly well. I mean, he was okay, but it was evident that he was, you know, nowhere near the levels that that a team like them should be hoping for. And similarly, remember Dmytro Chychrynsky came in as like parachuted in when they had loads of injuries. What happened there? He was like played like two matches or one and then disappeared. So I'm not sure whether that's true or not, but it would be some rise for Shabanov, who genuinely fell away after he left Dinamo. Then he went to went to Polisia. He ended up in Polisia, got kicked out there by Imada Shaw and co. And then he went to Alexandria and showed everyone how it's done. Let's see who actually ends up staying at Alexandria.
Now, Michael, Dinamo, the most underwhelming champions in living memory, or am I just being extra critical?
It's a strange one because I think we judge the champions of the past, judge the champions of this year against the champions of the past, don't we? But at the end of the day, they've not lost a game, have they? Do you know? And Dynamo Kyiv deservedly have won the title, but they haven't really set it alight, have they? Do you know? They've drawn twice with Shakhtar. You know. Usually the champions, you want to take it to Shakhtar, get a result there. But there's been bright sparks in places and they've been consistent. You know, I always thought Alexandria were the consistent team, but obviously they lost a few points here and there. But Dynamo Kyiv, deservedly so, but just not set the league alight, unfortunately. And doesn't bode well to see how they're going to do in Europe next season, really, does it? But we shall see. We shall see.
It's, yeah, we won't look ahead to European qualification just yet. But Andrew, a few deals have been arranged with last season's squad already, looking to the not too distant future, and one player being touted left, right and centre around England, I believe.
Yes, so we'll start with the contract extensions. Matvei Ponomarenko, who had a good season, I think, with the under-19s, had a good season in the UEFA Youth League, where I think he ended top scorer there. He signed a new 3.5-year deal, which keeps him at the club until 2028, December. He apparently had rumoured interest from a few championship clubs, I think. It's a shame that, evidently, he is going to stay. But maybe he's going to be the Vanat replacement in the long run, or that's who at least Ihor Surkis sees him being. Andrea Romanko, he's also signed a one-year contract extension to try and chase down that UPL record, the all-time goals record of 1-2-4, 10 goals away. 10 goals away. Can he do it?
Yes.
Yes, but not next season.
Well, do other clubs count? What if he goes to some newly relegated side in future?
I think he's going to call it quits after next season. I think it's... he's having fun, but I think that he probably will call it a day after the World Cup if Ukraine make it. It will be a good way to end on a high. So let's put it at that. And of course, Alexander Karavayev has got a 1+1 contract extension. So he's definitely there for next campaign. And then he's got the option of extending 1 year further, which I've seen has not gone particularly well with certain Dynamo fans on X that we know. Yeah. Angel Torres also came in a few weeks ago. He was meant to be joining last season. Then he had like a rape case in Australia. He was found not guilty, so he's arrived on a free. Let's see what he can provide from that right wing, I think, next campaign, albeit it's typical kind of Dynamo business, a player for free, and then you just hope that you can sell him on at some point in the future. Albeit I read somewhere some Italian sources were saying that he has a £15 million release clause. Good luck. It's all I can say. But from an exit perspective, the main talking story of Dynamo of late has been Vladislav Vanat, top scorer in the UPL for a second consecutive season. Dynamo's probably Dynamo's player of the season, realistically, pretty consistent across the board. And every English club under the sun seems to be linked with him. Leeds, Everton, where else? Sunderland. Is he Premier League quality? That's the question. Would he fit into there? He's quite slight. He's not tall. He's not very physical, in my opinion. He likes to play it to his feet. He kind of reminds me a bit of Yohan Wiese at Brentford. Quite small, but potentially could be quite a good signing if they were to go for anyone. And I think maybe he has been linked to Brentford. I don't know. There have been so many teams that it's generally difficult to even comprehend. But I think that from what I've been reading and what you can see from him as well, that maybe he might be suited to a better league, to a different league like Germany, where he's going to get a bit more time on the ball, where he's not going to get shut down so quickly as it is in the Premier League, because he's struggled relatively quite well. He's struggled in European competitions. So I think that that just kind of, he needs to have another stepping stone before he hits the big time. And yeah, he's still under 21, still qualifies for the under 21. So he's almost likely going to be featuring there this summer. That will be a perfect place for him to showcase himself in the window to any potential suitors. But there is the case that I think Dynamo want 20 million for him plus. So if anyone wants to pay that, then fair enough. The question is that really a real fee? I've heard that there was interest from MLS for him. I think one of the teams put in a bid, either not looked at or rejected. So that says it all.
Are there any inquiries made from Premier League teams, English Premier League teams, to the players of FK RFC, RFS from Latvia?
No, I don't think so, Ray.
So why is Vanat considered and not them? They're on the same level.
Well, actually, Dynamo beat them. So just above. Just above. Yeah, this is it. We'll see where he ends up, but I'd be hopeful that he does get some movement, especially of the way he's been celebrating this title, getting up in the face of his haters in the DMs, coming from Shakhtar fans, wearing sunglasses, doing all that kind of thing. Him and Brashko very close. Evidently, Brashko had a big fall off the second half of this season, sadly, after the Wolves move didn't go through. He's also got another chance with the under 21 Euros. Let's see if either of them get a move away this campaign, because it really is, I think, time for it to happen.
Yeah, time and reality and Ukrainian football sadly never seem to fit like a beautiful glove, do they? But we can only hope. We can only hope. But I will make a tedious link now, as you mentioned the MLS there, Andrew, showing their interest in that. Looks like the MLS have caught the eye of the selectors for this upcoming tournament in Canada. Oh, Canada, oh, Canada. Our good friend Chebeco's been given a call up for the first time since that memorable night against France back in the COVID era, I believe it was.
Yeah, been playing well with Columbus Crew. Started most of this opening part of the season that they've had. And, you know, I think it's deserved, realistically. Batakhov's, he's going to be with the under-21s. So if you want to bring in another centre-back to take a look at, that's actually relatively local to Canada, then you may as well give him a shot. Because I feel that genuinely, Serhii Rebrov seems to be taking this as a very experimental time, albeit still quite reserved in his selections, in certain positions, let's say. But, you know, you've got, I think, a debut call-up for Mykola Mihailenko. Dinamo, who's really impressed, taken over the spot from Volodymyr Brashko. You've got Artem Bondarenko, has got a recall. I think he's been called up in the past before under Shevchenko or Petrikov. And now he could make his debut finally. He had a relatively strong end to the season, a few braces here and there, looks quite sharp. Let's see if he can actually fulfill the potential that everyone hoped that he would bring. Vladislav Dubinchak also getting a recall, but potentially could make his actual debut soon. Not the biggest fan of him. He's all right with his deliveries, but defensively and decision-making wise, there are issues. I feel that he's got the opportunity now. Alexander Martinyuk as well, who's also a left back, played a very good season with Alexandria. Both of them have a good chance to maybe cement their place as backup to Vitaly Mykolenko, who's not travelling on this season. I think he's had a long campaign. I think he's got a newborn as well. Just give him a summer off, will you? I think that Rebrov knows what's going on with him as well. He's obviously going to be the starting left back whenever it ends up happening in the qualifiers. So he doesn't really need to look at him so deeply. The same goes for Vitaly Bujalski. He's not been called up, but I feel that that might just be the ship has sailed for him. Andriy Ermolenko, similar story to having a rest. If he is going to be called up in future, then I think Rebrov knows what he's getting. And that'll be about that. You know what I mean? It would have been nice. Maybe Ermolenko could have picked up a penalty, scored a tap-in or something like that over the course of these two matches to try and get closer to Shevchenko's record. But he's not doing it the easy way, let's say. And I think the only question that we've got in this squad, or the biggest problem that everyone's looking at, is we've just got one centre-forward, Roman Yaremchuk, who has had a good second half of the campaign, really has. Scored a few goals, scored a few key goals in Olympiakos' run-in for the Cup and League double. And he's going to be leading the line. I assume he won't be leading the line in both games, because it seems almost impossible for him to get 180 minutes over there. Dovbik's injured right now, and I think it's probably too soon of a recovery for him to then fly out to Canada. You know, although that long flight and all that kind of thing, wasting time. Better just to start off the new campaign and be ready for the France match in September. Vanat is not there. He's going to be in the under-21s. And same for Yehori Yarmoluk, who is similarly not there. I was actually expecting some of these players to actually just go with the senior team, play these friendlies, and then fly back straight to Slovakia for the Euros, like I'm planning on doing. But evidently, from a time difference perspective, jet lag and all that kind of thing, it's probably not good for them from a recovery perspective and all that kind of stuff. If these friendlies were in Europe, for example, I think we probably would have seen some of those players feature in both, like we did 2 years ago when we had some qualifiers and a few players played in both. Mudrik played, Sudakov, and then they went. Whereas this time round, Vanat's already gone. Brashko's with the under-21s. And I personally would have called up Mykola Kuharevic. He had quite a solid end to the season with Hibernian. They had a turnaround of magnitude and finished third. I think he deserves it. And he's got a kind of a good profile for a lead-the-line centre-forward. He's not been picked, though, so a shame. A shame.
But gents, I hope you have a great trip out there. I think it's going to be a fantastic experience. Michael, you must be really looking forward to following Zabina to a new part of the world.
Big time, you know. First chance of silverware as well, so we're all very excited. Yeah, I got high hopes for it. It's going to be interesting to see what sort of squad is fielded, but it's just going to be a nice atmosphere. A lot of the diaspora there, you know, following them all that way as well. It's going to be a good adventure. And to get our hands on the trophy, listen, we've dreamt of this all our life, so let's enjoy it.
Yeah, the Canadian Shield. It's, you know,
I grew up on the Canadian Shield.
Second most Ukrainian speaking country in the world as well.
A homecoming of sorts. So I think it'll be fun. It'll be fun. Let's see how it goes.
And for people who are unsure, when are those games taking place again?
7th and the 10th of June. They're both at BMO Field in Toronto. Any Canadian listeners who haven't bought a ticket yet, I'd be shocked, because surely anyone who listens to us out there has had this booked for months. I look forward to seeing a lot of you there. It will be, I think, a great event.
Yeah, definitely so. And we here at Ukraine Plus Football look forward to discussing that and many more summer events when we return after our summer break. We look forward to bringing you the podcast in a new format next season, and ask anyone who's got any suggestions to comment on the X posts and Instagram posts and the like, and we will read them all ourselves. But till next season, take care, stay safe, and goodbye for now. Bye-bye.